Fighting for America.
We're broadcasting live from the Snake River Stampede. The crowd is percolating in for the Buckaroo Breakfast. You know, we wish you were out here at the Idaho Center. I'd buy you some pancakes at the Buckaroo Breakfast.
Fighting for Idaho.
The Constitution is very clear as to what constitutes ground for impeachment of the President of the United States. He has not committed the kind of criminal acts that call for that. We do believe that the President is not enforcing the law.
Fighting for you.
The 20th World Cup ends with Germany as champion.
And that's it. Final whistle. It's Germany's time for a fourth time. They're world champions.
The next World Cup will be in Russia in 2018.
Boise's Mr. Right. Kevin Miller in the morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. We're joined by attorney. We're joined by candidate for governor, John Bujak, with us. Mr. Bujak, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin. Thank you for having me.
Good to have you with us. You know, I remember the only time I had a chance to speak with you was when you were helping Vaughn Ward for Congress. Doesn't seem like a world away.
It does seem like a long time ago and a world away.
It does. Let's take us through your journey from where you were then to today. Your thoughts on all the life experiences that you've had, quite a public profile, sir.
Indeed, and it's been a real journey, and it's part of the reason that I'm running for governor now. You know, back when I was involved in Vaughn Ward's campaign, I was the elected prosecutor in Canyon County, doing a lot of good work there, saving the taxpayers a lot of dollars, improving the quality of justice, and looking forward, having an eye on a more comprehensive role in Idaho government and Idaho leadership. And I had a run-in with people that I've come to call the good old boys, these people who've taken over the GOP here in Idaho. And, of course, now the GOP is imploding, which is a part of the reason that I've crossed over and become a libertarian. But watching the Republicans and the way that their rules worked on the inside, when I didn't go along with those rules, didn't follow their rules, the system came crashing down around me. And I found myself over a three-year period facing five different criminal trials, one charge after another, charges stacked on top of charges, sometimes getting arrested every other week. And in the end, you know, we went into the courtroom and the people in the form of the jury heard the evidence and found me not guilty. And here I am, able to run and with a renewed appreciation for the American system of justice. And what it's done for me is really highlight the fact that these insiders within the GOP, they're going to serve their own interests, they're going to serve special interests, and they're going to use the awesome power of the government to hold people in check if they disagree.
John Bujak with us, 580-5436, 580-5436, Kevin Miller here. Let me ask you this, though. You at one time were rumored to be a candidate for Congress, the next governor, all these sorts of things. So when you were faced with these charges, when you were arrested, when you were public enemy number one, how did you make it through, and how did you convince yourself not to cop a plea, not to do anything else, when you saw things that were not very complimentary about you in the press and everything else? But again, not like the court, you don't get a chance to get your side out.
That's right, and certainly when you face criminal charges, you don't talk about it. You have a right to remain silent, and it's always a good idea to exercise that right until the jury hears the evidence. And so you don't get a chance to really tell your side of the story, and you sit there and get blasted in the press by the people making the accusations. But I'll tell you, three things got me through. My faith, my family, and especially my wife, who's here in the studio with me this morning. Getting up every day and knowing that there was a destiny and that there's power in the truth. And, you know, I never wavered. I never thought about the what if things went wrong. I just looked forward knowing that I was being vetted, I was being tested, I was being prepared for some kind of greater destiny. And I think that destiny is to bring some common sense back to Idaho politics and to give politics and the government back to the people.
Nobody beats the feds, but you did.
You know, that's what everyone says, and even you hear it among the defense bar, nobody beats the feds, but you do beat the feds when the truth is on your side. Again, there's power in the truth, and there's power in providence, and there's power in destiny, and again, I think that one message that my experience sends is I stand on principle, I'm not afraid to take on the government and the establishment, and I win.
What do you say to folks, though, that have already convicted you in the court of public opinion? You have beaten all the charges. You are a free man. You're, once again, a very successful attorney. You're running for governor. You are rolling once again. Why? But you have people that say, oh, that blankety-blank Mr. Bujak. What do you say to them that say, look, I'm electable, I'm credible, I'm trustworthy.
Well, I think that people are going to have their opinions, and I think no matter who you are or for what you stand, there are going to be the people that disagree, and that's okay. That's part of our First Amendment rights. And if they don't like what I stand for, I'm not going to pander to them. They should go vote for somebody else. But they need to be aware that if they vote for the traditional candidates in this election, they're going to get politics as usual, and that's a political system that panders to insiders, doesn't listen to the people, and doesn't get things done.
I'm sure you're very familiar with Governor Otter. I'm sure you're probably good friends with him. He's a charismatic, friendly gentleman, a likable person. Why you as opposed to Governor Otter?
And Governor Otter is a nice person. I've only met him on a couple of occasions. I think he's done some good things for Idaho, and I think he's well-intentioned. But I also think that no one's immune to what happens to a politician after you've been in the political system for a lot of years. And Governor Otter has been in the system for a lot of years. He's running for a third term as governor. It's happened before, but you start living within this bubble in the political system, and you don't bring new ideas to the table, and you find yourself in a position where you don't have fresh data from the outside. All you have is data from the inside. I watch Governor Otter continue to form more and more groups of committees to talk about issues, and there's a whole lot of talk and not a whole lot of action and nothing getting done. And do I criticize him for that? I don't criticize him as a person, but I think it's part of the effect of what happens when you have someone sitting in the big chair for too long. He's done his job. He's done it admirably, but I think it's time for him to move aside so someone with fresh ideas and new blood can step into the office and get things done.
Mr. Bujak, when you take a look at the governor, many of his critics within the grassroots Republican Party will say, mostly all the time here at 580KIDO, that the lobbyists, and you've kind of alluded to that, but the lobbyists do control this administration. Do you agree with that statement?
I absolutely do. It's controlled by the insiders, and when I talk about the insiders, that's the lobbyists, and it's also the National Republican Party. And you're watching the National Republican Party monkey with the Idaho Republican Party right now, and the result is we have a divided Republican Party that can't even organize within itself to get things done. That's not a model for leadership. That's not a model that's going to allow us to get things done here in Idaho.
John Bujak with us here at 580KIDO. Now, I know how this works. Everybody's going to wait until the last half hour of the program, and we're only going to get to three of 27 questions here. So now is the time to call in if you have a thought, a comment about the gubernatorial race, about Mr. Bujak's candidacy, about the past, about the future. Let's go over some of the other issues. You've seen the infighting that has gone on. You saw the Fulcher campaign. You've had the unique opportunity to be running, yet to sit back and take a look at this contentious primary. Your thoughts on Fulcher v. Otter and the after impacts?
Well, I think the message that came through loud and clear is that Idahoans are ready for a change, and in particular within the Republican Party. And one thing that's important to remember when you look at the voters in Idaho, you know, there are more independent voters, I mean voters who aren't registered as Republicans or Democrats, than those who are registered as Republicans and Democrats combined. And so you have this independent constituency out there that's looking for a pragmatic leader, looking for somebody who's conservative, looking for somebody who has the right values, but they don't buy in wholeheartedly to the Republican point of view or the Democratic point of view. But
a lot of folks like that said, just as you have, the Republican Party has left me and they have nowhere to go.
That's right. And I think Senator Fulcher tried to bring some common sense back to the party, a new view, some different views. I think he's probably too far right. And what I mean by that is I think he'd come in and do more to stymie getting things done in the government here in Idaho than actually work cooperatively to get things done. But the important thing is the people spoke up and said, especially in these larger counties, we like fresh ideas and we like somebody other than Governor Otter.
Were you surprised that the governor lost his home counties of Ada and Canyon County? Historically, I don't know if that's happened, but I mean, in a primary, close primary, which, I know the governor's not a fan of. To me, I think that's how you make sure the Republicans actually vote Republican and the Democrats as well, because a lot of folks have made a big deal out of losing Ada and Canyon County.
And it is a big deal. It's really surprising. I would say you look at the data, and whoever takes the largest counties tend to win.
Right.
I think it's amazing that you see the governor winning in the primary basically because of the voters in the rural community. I think that's huge.
Let's go to the phones, and we start with Lori for John Bujak with Kevin Miller at 580KIDO. Good morning, Lori.
Oh, good morning. Mr. Bujak, I'm wondering what your thoughts are on the implementation of OtterCare, Obamacare in Idaho, and generally, what are your thoughts on issues involving Idaho state sovereignty? What would you do to protect Idaho's sovereignty against more federal intrusion?
And Lori, those are great questions. You know, I, as a libertarian, and also personally, because I think my views differ from the libertarian platform, if you look at it as a whole, to some degree, government is too much involved in our lives. And whether it's health care or anything else, government, I think, needs to get their nose out of our business. And the thought that they're going to come in the form of Obamacare or OtterCare or any other government mandate and tell us how we're going to purchase health insurance or even whether we should is ridiculous. Now, the reality is the feds have passed a law that require it. And Governor Otter has bought into that. And now we have Obamacare slash OtterCare here in Idaho. And you can't just go into office and nix that. And not unilaterally and not immediately. But I think that Idaho has to stand up and say, we're not going to let the federal government dictate how we do business here in Idaho. And I would do everything I can in the office in order to send that message back to Washington, D.C., and to send it to our legislators here in Idaho to try to diminish the effect of Obamacare and OtterCare and prevent it, anything like that from happening again.
Lori, anything else?
As some of the other issues that that are state sovereignty issues that you would ask, for instance, your attorney general to prosecute or defend against or defend Idaho's position?
You know, I think there are a lot of them. I think the federal government has their fingers in all kinds of pies here in Idaho, and that's directly related to our dependency on federal dollars. We don't get federal dollars here in Idaho without having to give up some of our freedoms as a state. And so, you know, you look at areas like education. You look at areas like management of our lands here in Idaho. You even look at restrictions that the federal government is trying to place on our ability to possess firearms. All these things need to be defended against, but they need to be defended against in an intelligent manner. And when you talk about sending the attorney general or some other legal entity on behalf of the state to go into courts and fight, I think we have to be pragmatic and have to be sensible, because you can easily start throwing a lot of money down the drain in court battles that can be better used for other endeavors here in Idaho to improve our infrastructure and our way of life, or to just simply cut taxes and not need those monies at all. So I think that the fight really comes down to working cooperatively, working with our federal representatives back in Washington, D.C., and working cooperatively to limit the effect of federal mandates and federal government and their policies here in Idaho.
All right, Lori, thank you for the call. We go to Gene in Cuna for John Bujak at 580KIDO. Good morning, Gene.
Good morning. Good morning, Kevin. Always a pleasure. Mr. Bujak, I just have a couple of questions and one comment. What do you propose to do if the federal government comes in and says to somebody like the folks down in Canyon County there that we're going to take over part of your land, you can't graze your cows here anymore, and even though you paid us all this money, we're going to kick you off the land no matter what? My one comment would be, you know, the people in Idaho, they've known Governor Butch for years. Maybe he stayed at the party too long. Maybe he's tired. I don't know what the issues are. But I do know that in politics, and I've seen this time and time again, there is such a mudslinging act going on, and it irritates me to no end, that why can't people just get along? And look, if you're going to run a race, run a good, clean, solid race. It sounds to me, sir, like you could do this. And I've listened to several other clips and comments that you've talked about, and right now I'm trying to form an opinion whether I should continue on with, you know, the governor at hand or swing my vote your way. And so far it's solidly becoming clear to me that you are going to be the man that's going to take the fight to the enemy. It's really a pleasure to talk to you, sir. And Kevin, it's always a pleasure, and God bless you, my friend, and I'm behind you 100%.
God bless you, Gene. Take care.
You too. Bye now.
Bye-bye, and thank you for your service. Coming up next, Mr. Bujak has a national television appearance tonight. We'll talk about that. He'll answer Gene's questions, more from you, and Tea Party Bob on hold as well. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. If you're just tuning in, John Bujek with us talking about his candidacy for, the governorship, if you will, of the state of Idaho. Number one. Number two, state sovereignty, the Second Amendment, marriage, all big issues that need to be addressed here.
Your trust every morning. Kevin Miller, 580-KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Hi, KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning, John Bujak with us. By the way, johnbujak.com is his site. A very creative, and I remember when this site went active, sir. I mean, you've tapped into Game of Thrones, you've tapped into House of Cards, and you've made it relevant to Idaho politics. I, again, maybe I don't get out much. It was a Saturday morning when I was just sitting there looking at this. Tell us a little bit about your website.
Well, you know, the website, first of all, is due in large part to the creative genius of my wife. It was put together by a bunch of volunteers. I didn't have a lot of money. At the time, I was under federal indictment. But I wanted to make a strong statement and a statement that would resonate. And I think most Idahoans understand that special interests run politics. And there is a house of cards that needs to be toppled. And if that can be done, Idaho politics and the Idaho government can be given back to the people, and Idaho can realize its potential. And so I think it was a good way, a visual way of communicating the message, using these themes that I think everybody understand, and again, it resonates.
Back to Gene's question, and it seems like a lifetime ago because we live in such an ADD world, but he was really looking for a governor that's going to, well, not just to take orders from the feds, not take money from the feds. That is a concern when you consider how much money the federal government contributes to our general fund. Your thoughts, you fought the feds, you've won on a relationship that the next Idaho governor should have with the feds.
Well, I mean, there has to be a cooperative relationship. I learned that as the prosecutor in Canyon County. If you work cooperatively, you can get amazing things done. And, of course, in that context, we got rid of gangs in Canyon County. That was a huge deal. You can work cooperatively with the federal government, but you have to be vigilant. And I don't think we need to take their money with the conditions that come along with it. And so we need to start weaning ourselves off of that federal money, and we need to take a strong stance. You know, for example, you know, the federal government's trying to come in and tell Idahoans they can't recreate on Lake Lowell. I think the governor needs to work with local and county officials to send the strong message that we're not going to tolerate that. Idahoans want to recreate. They have a tradition of recreating there, and that's what we're going to do. And if we have to have a fight about that, we'll have a fight about it.
Speaking of fight, we go to the publisher of the Gem State Patriot, Tea Party Bob, with John Bujak at 580KIDO.
Morning, John. How are you this morning? Morning,
good,
Kevin.
Good morning.
And Kevin, by the way, thanks for having John on. We don't often get to the third parties in these races. Two quick questions. Idaho has more minimum wage jobs than almost any other state in the country. How would you go about improving our economy and bringing more high-paying jobs to our state? And what's your opinion on Common Core, and would you continue to implement this federally run top-down curriculum or be willing to listen to the people and look at alternatives?
Okay, great questions. And I get those a lot as I travel around the state and talk to people. You know, what people ask me, what are you going to do as governor to fix the economy? And the first thing that comes to mind for me is, you know, it's really not the government's job to fix the economy. And I think part of the problem is there is an incorrect focus within the government on the economy. And I think part of the problem is government won't get out of the way. And I think the free market takes care of itself if it's allowed to run as a free market. And so here's what I would do. I would change the focus to help improve the infrastructure, in particular our transportation system here in Idaho. I'd help small businesses where I could. I don't think with government dollars, I don't think bailing out or having this redistribution of wealth to help people is the right answer. But if there's regulatory changes that can be made or reductions in regulation or tax cuts that can be done to help businesses that exist here thrive, that's great. And then I think government needs to get out of the way and let the free market revive the economy, because I think it will. You know, what hinders the economy right now is when businesses fail, which is just part of business and economic cycles, the government is stepping in and bailing people out. And that shouldn't be the role of government. That's not what we're called upon to do as leaders in government. So that's what I have to say about the, you know, improving the economy here in Idaho. And as far as Common Core, again, government, please get your nose out of our business. I think that there needs to be standards to measure how well our students are learning, but the teachers ought to be free to be creative in the way that they teach. You know, look at, for example, this isn't obviously the elementary school or high school, but you look at college professors where they have freedom in the style of the way they teach. I remember in college having probably as many different styles as I had professors. And the bottom line is they needed to give us the information and teach us and give us skills that we can use practically in the real world. And as long as they got that done, why should it matter how they do it? And the government, what business do they have telling these teachers how to do their job? So Common Core, absolutely not. I think Idaho teachers need to be able to teach kids in a way that's effective and just measure the standard of performance and maybe even reward them for good performance when the students perform up to standard.
Here we are with John Bujak, johnbujak.com for governor. What do you want to say to people right now that are very dissatisfied with both candidates and what they can do to join your campaign possibly, number one, and number two, that you're a credible candidate?
Well, I mean, if people want to help with the campaign, the easiest thing is go to the website, johnbujak.com. There's a contact form there. Just let us know you're interested, and we'll reach out and let you know how you can help. As far as me and being a legitimate candidate and a candidate that can win, you know, I asked them to take a look at the political playing field right now and understand Idaho has traditionally been a Republican state. We believe in conservative Christian values, but our Republican Party is simply in disrepair and it continues to implode. There's no leadership there, and nothing's getting done. There's a whole lot of talk and no action. My history, both personally and politically, is I get things done. If you want to see positive change, if you want to see things done, I'm the guy to vote for. And I can tell you the grassroots movement is afoot. People are getting excited, and people that don't normally vote are coming to the polls. And so I ask you to get informed. I ask you to come out, and I ask you to vote in November because we can take Idaho back. By your power, the power of your vote, we can take Idaho back for the people.
You're listening to Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.
The Treasure Valley's exclusive home for Kevin Miller. KIDOAM.com. 580 KIDO. Idaho's place to talk.
Men, 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 manly men, 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 manly men, men, men,
men, men, men, men, manly men.
Woo-hoo-hoo. 580 KIDO. Kevin Miller in the morning, live from the Buckaroo Breakfast. One of the community's favorite events here, so many eggs, so many pancakes. We'll be talking to folks that are continuing that great commitment. The Snake River Stampede in its 99th year. Can you believe it? Next year will be 100 years of one of the great Western rodeo traditions in America. And we'd love for you to stop by between now and 9 o'clock today. Of course, breakfast opens at 7. And we would love to see you today and tomorrow. We do want to thank everyone who has made that possible. We're joined by Dave Burnett, who's in the studio now, probably having a good time. In fact, Dave, I was dreaming about you last night.
That bothers me whenever you say that.
Why would you say that?
That you're dreaming
about
me.
Can I have
a
good dream?
It's bad enough.
A good dream about you?
It's bad enough. You got a picture of me on the nightstand next to your bed. That's bad enough. But then you're dreaming about me. That's really bad.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking to myself, I was dreaming about work because, as you know, I'm obsessed by it, so I'm sitting there. My dream last night was that I went to the studio, and we had our pregame chat, and then we forgot that we were out here, and then you said, oh, well, you're supposed to be out there, and I said, well, we're going to revolutionize the radio today. We're gonna do a show on the phone while I drive to the venue during morning rush hour. And it was working out quite well.
I think we've done that before, haven't we? Actually, I don't think it was a dream.
Out of necessity, I guess. Yeah. But I always like trying to think of you in unique, captivating situations or predictions or predicaments or something like that so I can get your unfiltered, uncensored reaction.
Always here ready. What do you got today?
Well, I think dreaming about you last night was enough. I mean, how many people can say that they dream about a coworker, that they're that committed to work?
I dream about coworkers all the time.
You do?
Oh, all the time.
Well, what type of dreams do you have, Dave?
Typically, they're frustrating dreams where I can't get stuff done. wait, that's my waking hours. Never mind. No, I dream about coworkers all the time. Just sometimes oddball things.
Any that you'd like to share?
Nothing comes to mind right away. Most of them are mundane and pretty boring, but typically my dreams are about coworkers and family. That's about it.
I see.
Yeah, pretty boring, huh?
Well, between you and Sweet Willard dreaming about people, and I don't even want to know what Willard's dreams are. So
it's about the Chicago Bears or something?
No, with coworkers.
Oh, no, I don't want to know that either.
So we've got the big news of the day. Bo Bergdahl is going back to active duty.
Yeah, it makes you wonder, after 5 years of captivity, at what point does he get discharged? I mean, how long does he now go back to active duty for?
Well, here's the, and you know, you have a great point there, but I'm just wondering here at 580KIDO, considering the negativity, considering the vitriol, considering we still don't know if he's talked to his parents, and maybe he has, and just like when he was captive, they aren't talking, which is fine, that you would put him back in a stressful situation. I mean, even letting him out on his own, I think, would be a big deal. 5 years ago, where was Twitter? Where was, you know, Facebook was kind of goofy up back then. But, you know, just going back 5 years, how much society has changed. Never mind being held in a cage. Obviously, as we saw that picture with the smiling Taliban, he doesn't look like he's having a good time. He looks like he's scared. And as you said, he's rail thin.
He is really thin. And, you know, people are going, see, it shows he's collaborating. No, somebody goes, I'm going to lop your head off with this sword if you don't smile. I'm going to give that sheepish smile, too. Good to see you.
Exactly. So that's the position that I'm looking at. Do they really want this guy back on active duty? Do they really want him doing these things right now? Because I'm thinking to myself, aren't they rushing him, and don't they have to determine just what happened, the details of him leaving?
You know what it tells me, Kevin? And I know this might come as a surprise. The media might be making a bigger story out of this than the military feels that it is.
I don't know. Just as someone who, kind of like you, we've covered this story, we've taken a look at it. You have people that still aren't right. So you're telling me 5 years in captivity. Dave, what's the most uncomfortable thing that's happened to you in the last week?
The most uncomfortable thing that's happened to me in the last week?
That stresses you out.
Oh, just work, I guess.
Okay, you have a situation at work that you can't resolve. Okay, magnify that by 1,000 times, and you can never escape it. And look, the folks at Sam Houston are great, but it just seems odd to me that they've reintegrated him right away. They were talking at the initial press conference, it might be 6 months, it might be a year. Remember, he couldn't speak English?
That's what the media said.
That's what the Army's releasing. The media is going specifically on what the talking points are at the daily press memo.
So the military said he couldn't speak English?
Yeah.
I don't know that I ever read that in an actual press release from the military. In the news.
Got it from his dad.
You know, I don't know.
And he got it from, where did his dad get him from? The Army.
I don't know. You know, there's so much hearsay of what's going on. I would have to think that military officials are probably, and the psychiatrists, the psychologists, the counselors, probably wiser than me in this case and know what they're doing. And I don't know, when they say reintegrating, does that mean he's carrying a gun and going to combat today? No. That just means that they're trying to get him back into a day-to-day routine.
Well, we will see what happens, but is that really appropriate considering we don't know the details, and the Army, I don't believe, has begun their total investigation into how he left the camp? Unless, and let's start the speculation now, let's see, 12, 13 hours, a little over 12 hours before Alex Jones starts here at 580KIDO, unless there were some issues with that unit and Bo isn't totally to blame for leaving.
That has been some, again, speculation by the media. And allow me to go off of what I hear from the media. I believe I heard on Fox News this morning that the interview begins today on why he left. But again, that's a media release. So I don't know. You know, I guess I don't totally trust the media when they're trying to, I'm part of it, but you know, you're trying to gin up a story to make it, you know, more exciting so that we can get more viewers and we can get more listeners. That, you know, you just have to sit back and go, okay, let's take all of this with a grain of salt.
Well, those that have critical thinking skills, yes. Most of the masses don't. I mean, you have a chance to talk to the budding intellects in the building. How many people actually think of anything critically?
I don't know. One of them, and I wouldn't say what country station, one of them said to me on Friday, goes, I get most of my news from Jon Stewart. And it's like, oh, stop.
Well, because that's the hip thing to do.
I guess so.
they've been programmed that way, yes. Jon Stewart.
Yeah. That's my source for news. Okay, good luck. Don't want to talk to you ever again.
I see.
I do know this, and it kind of deals with rodeo in an oddball sort of way. The last day of the running of the bulls at Pamplona, and a bull gets loose and gores two people. What a crazy thing to go do is run from the bulls.
I guess it's a Pamplona thing. You have to be there to get that.
Yeah, I have a friend who has spent quite a bit of time out there. He said you'd be surprised how short a run it is, number one. It's not very long. And number two, how small and confined a space it is. You would be stunned to see it. Very small space from where they run the bulls to the arena.
Stunned to see it or stunned to participate?
No, I wouldn't do that.
580 KIDO, the Manly Man segment, as we continue on this Monday from the Buckaroo Breakfast at the Snake River Stampede. So any surprises that LeBron James went home?
Nope. I think we've known for a while, based upon the Twittersphere from his wife, that was kind of the goal. I think the final thing was they were just waiting for the owner to take that letter down that blasted LeBron James, which went down last week sometime. And LeBron, it has been said, again by the media, it has been said that he has not spoken to ownership, but he's not there to play for the owner. He's there to play for the coach and the players. So, no, not really. We'll see if he can go home again, though.
Well, on the other hand, apparently this is being reported by the owner. He did confirm this through USA Today and Yahoo with Adrian Wojnarowski. That LeBron, remember a couple weeks ago when the plane for Dan Gilbert, the Quicken Loans plane, was down in Miami?
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, and the only reason why I know this, because that's the only thing that was going on, they had a face-to-face four-hour meeting, and they both apologized, and they both admitted that they had done wrong. But it's interesting that the media won't let this go because they keep, going back to the letter where Dan Gilbert called him a coward and trying to, how could he do this? And, you know, isn't life about forgiveness and that sort of thing?
It should be. You know, we all learn. We all grow. We all grow up a bit. LeBron has grown up a bit since then. The owner has learned a bit since then. So, you know, that's what it should be. How the fans react, that'll be interesting to see. Some Cleveland fans still, you know, holding a grudge.
Yeah, good luck with that. So
exactly.
I think it's good. It's his statement obviously was well received everywhere. We'll see how that plays out. No, a lot of people are concerned about it. Of course, it really doesn't impact anybody's lives. But, you know, having, again, been born in that area, and just like a lot of Rust Belt cities, and it's interesting, people keep saying Cleveland. Well, you know, it's kind of how I explain it, you know, saying Akron and Cleveland are the same, it's like saying Nampa and Boise are the same. They're not the same. They're separated by quite a distance, and the culture is different, and the kid, you know, understands that you've had a lot of factories closed, like a lot of, whether it's Detroit or Akron or Cleveland or any of those cities, Pittsburgh, people have left because of the opportunities. You know, I left it because of the opportunities. And it's good to see that he's come back. He's always maintained his charitable foundation every year. Even when they hated him in Cleveland, he gives away, I don't know how many bicycles to little kids. They're either eighth graders. And then he sponsors third graders through education. And how many athletes really do that? And we've never read about him doing anything on the, you know, to be embarrassed about. So, you know, it's nice to see at least he's giving back. We'll see how it plays out.
And also, I will point out that he could have gotten a lot more money elsewhere than he got in Cleveland. He said it wasn't all about the money, and so he did not go back for as big a paycheck as he could have gotten elsewhere.
Yeah, it's an interesting dynamic there that the guy was never the highest paid player on any team that he was on. Now he is. So we've got the Pope. What do you want to go with? You want to go with the Pope or Eric Holder?
Your choice, Kev. You only have a couple minutes, but it's your choice.
We've got the Pope saying 1 in 5 clergy are pedophiles. He promises a solution to priestly celibacy. And then he says, uh-oh, I was misquoted. And then we have Eric Holder saying to oppose the president, he sees, quote-unquote, racial animus in the opposition to the president of the United States.
Eric Holder, stop. That song has been sung over and over again. I think the Pope's comments, kind of frightening what he's saying, if that is true, and then he comes back and says, no, I was misquoted. I don't know if he was or not. But
well, there's been a pattern with him being misquoted.
There's been a pattern? Who is it that's misquoting him?
Well, apparently he'll talk to folks, and he'll, like he said, that the church shouldn't judge on abortion and gay marriage, and then he goes on, and then the Vatican says, nope, he was misquoted when it comes to gay marriage and homosexuals and the like. So do you believe the Pope when he says it? Is it the press going with something? And you could talk to most folks that are very concerned about the direction that he would like to take the church, whether you're Catholic or not. But like I said, there's a pattern with him. He'll say something, and then all of a sudden, officials in the Vatican say he was quote-unquote misquoted.
I think probably a lesson that needs to be learned by him and by a lot of leaders, you can't do what you used to do because of Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and social media. You can't go doing because everything is caught on video now. Very little is not caught on video.
I see you running around with a video camera trying to catch people at work.
I'm not quite sure what that means.
You're trying to catch people at work not doing their jobs on video. I see you all the time with a video
camera. But I do know this. If you or if Willard out there, your trusted associate, if you want to take some pictures of the Buckaroo Breakfast and email them to my email, I'll get them posted this morning.
I will have to get him away from the conversation he's having with Jacob right now, but I will work on that for you.
Yeah, have him go snap some photos and have them email. Now, don't tweet them to me and don't instant message it, don't do that. Have them email them to my email, and then I'll post them for you.
The corporate email.
Yes.
That
way I can get it, and we can get it posted this morning for people. How about that?
I will do that right away.
All right. Traffic now, Kevin, as you're coming out of Canyon County into Ada County, don't forget for Marissa.
Glenn Beck, weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO as we continue on here at the Buckaroo Breakfast. A lot of people always say, hey, Kevin, how's it going? Really nothing changes until it does. Here we are, committed to the local community. We've got this wonderful breakfast that benefits the 4-H. We've got the children's ready to go. And it's good to see, as I look at the young people at the broadcast center, and I think to myself, Lord, what has happened to the future of America? What has happened to, really, this generation? They come in and they have their lattes and they, you have to keep on them. But what I love about the people here, the young 4-H participants, they work, they love work, and let's hope that it sticks with this generation. Let's hope that it sticks this time, right? That's why we need the positive reinforcement. So stop by and see us. We're here today and tomorrow. You'll see our great friend Larry Gebert, the hardest working man in Treasure Valley Broadcasting. And obviously, enjoy some great pancakes and the like. Let's get you to work. 580 KIDO as we continue on here from the Buckaroo Breakfast. Coming up, we'll talk to our great friend Ken Nicodemus. Remember, this is year 99. What's going to happen at the Stampede? Find out next. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO. Good morning.
Serving Emmett.